Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
And guess what, Ellie?
What?
We've got a guest.
No way.
And her name's Emma Byrne. Hello, Emma.
Hello. Emma, why don't you introduce yourself? Who are you, Emma Byrne?
I am the author of Swearing Is Good For You, a scientific look at bad language.
Fucking yes.
Fucking hell yes.
Fucking come on.
I know,
can
right?
we call you Dr. Fuck?
You can call, please call me Dr. Fuck. I work, no word of a lie, I work with a woman whose name is Dr. Roxana Danger. She is, I shit you not, Dr. Danger, and it's such an excellent name.
Roxana Danger. She sounds like a Bond girl.
She's bloody awesome. She is another, so we're both AI researchers, and she is just, she's who I want to be when I grow up, basically.
Can you just expand AI for the unlearned listener?
Everyone knows what AI is.
Just say it, Emma.
You know what AI is?
It's either artificial intelligence or a film with Will Smith, depending on.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I am glad we cleared that up. Great. All right, and you're also a mother.
I am a extremely scummy mum.
Excellent. Well, you're in the right place then. So you've written a book about swearing. You're a scientist. You're a mother. So let's start with the motherhood chat and then work our way through your myriad of experience and skills. So tell us about your family first up.
Yeah, so we are quite an exciting house. We've just had to buy a bigger car. We have got 3 adults, 2 kids and 2 cats, although we don't take the cats anywhere with us. There's myself, my husband and our housemate, and my housemate's daughter who's 4 and my daughter who's 2. And my daughter's going through that delightful toddler stage where feelings get a bit big,
mm-hmm.
but she doesn't have the words for them yet, so mm-hmm. she will throw things or herself or punches or tantrums, and I cannot wait for the day that she can tell me to go fuck myself. It will just get so much easier, though she does have a wicked side eye right now, and she's miffed. She will stare at me like this, like,
oh, good side eye, Emma,
murder you. And it's but yeah, my housemate's daughter is 4 and she's gone through potty training and it's now, you know, pretty much continent, more continent than I am anyway. And she's discovered that the words poo and bum have a certain amount of power, particularly at meal times. So she is just developing her own initial swearing lexicon, which I think is fucking brilliant.
It is. They stay in that poo phase, may I say, from about 4 to what, 11?
Fantastic.
Yeah, and then they start on the real swears. So you're in for a treat. Now, I'm going to ask you the question, which I probably know already. Are you a sweary mum?
Yes, I fucking am.
Excellent, excellent.
I kind of feel like if I pretend to my daughter that swearing doesn't exist, a couple of things are going to happen. First off, she's going to invent her own swearing. I mean, mm-hmm. chimpanzees invent their own swearing, so there's no way you can...
What? Monkeys do swearing?
Hell yeah.
Don't, you can't just throw that in and then move right. on, Glenn.
Boom, bombshell.
Come on, Dr.
I was,
Fuck.
I was working up to that, but she's gone straight in.
No. I'm sorry, spoilers.
No, swearing monkeys, let's go.
What the fuck are you talking about?
So, chimpanzees, when you foster them into a home to teach them language, there's 2 types of teaching language to chimpanzees. Project Nim, which had a film made about it and is really famous, they sat him in a lab and they made him do these various, very structured things. All these guys in white coats going, do the sign for I don't know, syncopation, do the sign for anti-disestablishmentarianism and you shall get a treat. And it's a stupid experiment because that's not how... Sorry, just dismissing someone's entire life's work there. Yay. But it's not how we teach kids language. We teach them by living with them, arguing with them. You know, they learn very quickly how to say, want more Bing, mummy. And you do this with chimpanzees, but in order to do that, you have to take them into your home, treat them like a member of the family. And if you're going to do that, you have to potty train them because they are smelly bastards in the wild. I mean, they will throw their crap around.
Well, we've all seen the PG Tips adverts.
Absolutely.
Nobody wants to live like really.
Yeah. So you teach them, you potty train them, and they internalise this taboo about feces, which is terrific from keeping the place clean. But, for example, things like if they're caught out by accident, they'll lie about it. Or if they're out and about... they'll try and do it.
Those crafty bastards.
Exactly. Yeah. But as soon as they do, the sign that they use for everything to do with going to the toilet, which is dirty, they start using that in the same way as we use shit. So if someone won't, you know, do what they want to do, they'll sign, you know, Roger was the researcher in charge of this project. You know, Roger, dirty, dirty Roger.
They literally go apeshit.
They literally go apeshit, but thankfully they don't fling shit.
Oh.
Because in the wild... if you piss off a chimpanzee, the first thing you'll know about it is a lump of shit to the face.
Ooh.
Whereas it's much, much
You didn't
better.
See that in Gorillas in the Mist, did
no.
you?
No.
Don't see Sigourney Weaver getting a face full of monkey shit.
No.
Not on those websites. No. You have to go to very special places on
niche,
the dark web for that.
Niche interest. Yeah. So the monkeys actually sign swearing.
They do. They sign because they don't have the same vocal cords or the same like tongues and teeth that we have. We can't really teach them... to use spoken language. The way
so they just
do.
Make wanker signs all
they
day.
They do make wanker
Wicked.
Signs.
And do like the middle finger.
Actually, but that's, you see, you joke. One of the interesting things is that masturbation was never taboo among these chimpanzees. And Roger Fuchs writes about
I
the
know,
fact.
They just wank everywhere.
They
I saw, I'm not a big fan of looking at other people wanking, I must say, but I was at a zoo in Hong Kong and I walked past a wanking chimpanzee and was very embarrassed.
It's captivating. It's captivating. Well, Washington's...
I didn't like it.
No,
listener.
No,
it's not your bag, is
no,
it?
No, it was not.
You've gone bright red just telling a story about a monkey having a wank and now she's hiding her face in a scarf. This is what
did
I'm talking
not
about.
Like it.
When I went on safari in Africa, the most interesting thing I saw in 2 weeks was a baboon do a wank and eat it.
Right.
I am not eating the silky hummus from now on.
Yeah,
aren't you glad I brought the salty crisps?
Oh my God!
Aren't you glad that you know as a hugely you know important and intelligent scientist you've come on this podcast and this is where we're already at? We're
Fuck
already
yeah.
at monkeys wanking.
Yeah,
monkeys wanking and eating.
Monkey spunky.
Yeah. Again, you don't see any of this in the PG Tips advert.
You don't.
I feel like they missed a trick, really.
Yes.
Well, you don't hear this on Radio 4. I feel like we're breaking down some wall of radio. But yes, thank you for all that information. Oh, now I'll be sick.
Yes.
That's the power of chimp.
Oh my God, amazing.
So your book is called Swearing Is Good For You. What? How is swearing good for me, Emma Byrne? For fuck's sake, tell me now.
See, that's the thing. I didn't set out to write Swearing Is Good For You. It was first called That's Fucking Amazing. Because I'd find stuff about swearing being good, but also swearing being bad. Nothing's really that cut and dried. But
that was also the original title for the Guinness World Records, by the way.
I
it was going to be called
right?
That's Fucking Amazing.
I would have paid to see Norris McWhirter to sign off.
Absolutely.
That would have been brilliant.
Yeah.
But... I just kept looking for, you know, the broadest amount of research on swearing that I could find. I was the person sitting in the British Library just going, yeah, more books on swearing, that will be for me. In fact, there's a study that's published every so often by Ofcom about which words are considered most offensive. They survey people and decide for broadcasters, inform broadcasters which ones are considered more offensive. And they talk about gestures as well as words. And I remember getting the back copies of this from the British Library and sitting there in the humanities reading room that I'm now, I think, banned from. And they were saying, you know, there's the, was it the Sicilian elbow, which is where you shove your fist into your elbow and
oh,
do
yes.
that, and the bird.
Vaffanculo. See?
Exactly. Yeah. Hey,
you're
really
so learned,
nice.
Ellie.
I didn't vote for Brexit.
But they also talked about the blowjob sign. And I was like, what's the blowjob sign? And I was like, Oh, it's that one.
Yeah. Like a fist and a face with your tongue.
The tongue and the cheek.
Yes.
Thanks for explaining that to the listeners.
Again, artificial intelligence.
They might know what they're not going to know that, yeah.
You're welcome, that person who doesn't know.
Well, I had to do it to myself, as it were.
Oh, in good
the British,
for you.
I know, right? In the British Library. So I sat there going, no. I'm now doing the blowjob face in the middle of the humanities section of the British Library. I can no longer come here again. I didn't come there that time. I was just miming it, for fuck's sake. But yeah, the more I looked at all of this research, the more I realised that we've got this weird paradox of, you know, people like Ofcom going, you know, tell us what's really offensive so we can make sure people don't say it, and people having these campaigns for clean English or clean Russian or clean Italian. But on the other side, swearing helps you withstand pain for much longer.
Mm.
It helps you be stronger when you're exercising. It helps teams bonding in the workplace.
Hang on, you're just dropping bombs and then moving on. What are you talking about?
So how
can swearing stop you feeling pain? Because when I was in labour, I'm pretty sure I did some pretty serious
effing and
swearing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Is that a thing then?
That is indeed a thing. And it used to be thought that swearing was part of a phenomenon known as catastrophizing, like focusing on how bad things are. And people in the medical profession used to say, you know, you shouldn't swear during labour because it'll just make you feel worse. And then this guy up at
Keeling... Said a man.
Idiot. Yeah, but it was this guy up at Keele University, Richard Stevens, he went, if it's so... like maladaptive, if this is a really bad idea, why did I just swear when I hit myself on the thumb this weekend? So he gets 67 of his undergraduates, makes them stick their hands in ice cold water, because, you know,
what a great guy.
I know, that's the kind of thing you can do when you're a psychology professor. And
torture.
Yeah, and they had to pick one neutral word and one swear word. He did some very sort of clever things to make sure they were sort of similarly cognitively accessible and things like that. And you can keep your hands in ice water about half as long again if you're swearing than if you're not.
Really? I mean, on the one hand, that's not a very useful life skill, being able to put your hands in cold water for long.
I would argue Scott of the Antarctic, you know, Mr. Trick.
Absolutely.
Swore more.
Yeah. Yeah, so instead of going, I'm going out now, I may be gone for some time, if you've gone, you're a bunch of cunts. He might still be alive today.
You're welcome, the relatives of Scott.
Yeah. So it can reduce pain, and then you said it can make you, it can help with exercise.
That's right, yes.
Now, I want to hear about it, because I've been doing HIIT training, right, and I fucking hate it. I really, really hate it. I like the feeling afterwards when you feel all glowy and smug. It's mainly the smuggery.
It's the smuggery.
While I'm doing it, even though it's only 20, 25 minutes, I just fucking hate it, and I want it to stop. How can I just swear?
It's absolutely. So the same research group did this thing where they take the sort of hand strength, the grip exercises, and you put a monitor on that to show how hard it's being squeezed and for how long. And again, if you're swearing, you can tend to exert a lot more pressure for a lot longer than if you're not. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be doing my lifts tomorrow with my Joe Wicks video going, bollocks! Bollocks!
Exactly.
And I'm going to go up half a key.
Indeed.
Oh, wicked.
Yeah. I want to know about sex, because you know how you can have sex.
So what happens is a man and a woman, when they love each other very much.
A man and a woman.
Or other people.
Or a monkey.
Heteronormative. Yes.
I'm sorry, you're quite right. Yes.
So, you know birds and you know bees.
Yes.
Yes.
And then we do scissors and bums.
Yes. All right, cool.
Right. Anyway, how does swearing affect that? Does it make it nicer? You know, when you could just have sex really silently when the baby's in the next room, or if you're home alone, you go, fuck me, does it make it nicer? Emma, tell me, please.
For a lot of... Yeah, it's okay. You're not weird. I mean, I actually helped out someone. I have my agony aunt chops thanks to this. It's bizarre. Someone from Cosmo in the States rang me up and said, look, someone's written to me and said I get turned on by naughty words when I'm having sex. I was like, naughty words? She's like, yeah. Did she specify which words? Just naughty words. And yeah, I was like, no, this is fine, because swearing intensifies whatever emotions you're feeling generally. It tends to raise your heart rate, get the palms feeling a bit sweaty, release a bunch of adrenaline. So whatever you're feeling is going to intensify that. But also, it's really hard to talk about a lot of the things that you want doing during sex without resorting to something that's, you know, you don't want to use the language of the gynecologist's office.
No. Put your penis in my vagina. In and out now. In and out.
I just use hand signals like monkeys. Pointing. Making a squeezing motion.
Oh, that's a top tip then. Exercise and fucking. That's
exercise, pain, sex. Anything else swearing's good for?
Yeah, so a bunch of people who, when they have strokes, if you have a stroke on the left side of your brain, it tends to really do away with a lot of your language abilities. And depending on the amount of damage, you can lose pretty much all of your what's called propositional language, your ability to express yourself or name things, or, you know, someone shows you a picture of something, you work out what you do with it and even sort things by category, but you just can't say what they are. But one of the best case studies on this is of a guy who had, you know, got this, it's called aphasia, this inability to speak in usual sort of common language terms. And they showed him a bunch of pictures and they'd asked him to do things like sort them into categories, and that was fine. But he couldn't say any of these words until they showed him a picture of Ronald Reagan. And then, and this is what really pisses me off, they don't say what he responded with, just that he responded with a bunch of swearing. But that it was sort of, they said affectively relevant. It was just the right sort of emotion for somebody who really could not stand Ronald Reagan.
Excellent.
So he was able to, you know, let them know what his political opinions were.
Now, what the thing I loved about your book, and also what I love about swearing, is it's almost like a code or a bonding tool, like the sweary mum at school that you go out with at the pub. Or the sweary colleague that you kind of go, oh, I like that one. Mm. Like it's almost like a code or a, I don't know, a sign that you like that other person. And that's what you talk about in the book, that it's something like a team bonding thing. And you were saying that because you come from a very male-dominated world of science, that you found swearing kind of got you in, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, particularly when I first started, before I was doing research, I worked in IT as a software engineer and surrounded by blokes. And you can see them sort of policing their language when you first start. Mm. And you kind of have to swear in order to prove to them that they don't have to treat you in a sort of special...
stepping on eggshells kind of way.
Yeah. So there's part of that sort of... I can't remember which researcher it is that I interviewed for the book, but she's saying that it's a gender transgressive act. It's a way of basically going, look, it is a bit sad and tedious because it's almost like you have to sort of go, oh, I'm not like those other girls. And I fucking hate that. Mm. But this idea that you have to somehow demonstrate that you're not some sort of fainting little ninny. But this idea that we have that women don't swear, I mean, like you said, you know, the mom at the school gate who is prepared to actually be open about their feelings and to not, you know, we all have that drive to swear sometimes. Mm. And things get frustrating, and the people who polish their lives to the point that it's not just their Insta feeds or their Facebook walls that are perfect, but everything that comes out their mouth is so, you know, oh no, you know, little Wilhelmina is now in, you know, a year advanced in her reading and yeah. Tristan, and he's just like,
sounds like a prick.
Yeah. When did your loo last flood? You know, when was there shit all over your bathroom floor? When did you last drop a nappy full of crap on your feet? Because I know it's happened to you, because it's happened to me. Mm. So there is this tendency to see people who swear as being a bit more real. But also this idea that women don't swear is bollocks. I mean, the use of swearing in novels was first, you know, basically first popularized by Currer Bell, who is Charlotte Bronte, writing Wuthering Heights. She said, I'm not going to redact this stuff. I'm not substituting letters with dashes because I want you to feel the way that these characters actually feel when they're swearing. I want you to respond in the way that you would respond if you heard this language, you know, in real life. And that might put some people, and that might put some of you off, but. Yeah, if you don't like my
material, don't hide your truth. Don't hide your truth.
Exactly.
No, I've had direct experience of the thing of because I've worked in video games for a long time, which is a very male-dominated industry. And one of my first jobs in games, I was, as I almost always was throughout the 2000s, the only woman. And I was told about a year after I started there, and I made good friends with all the boys, that the week before I started, the boss had sat them down
and said, right, you need to tone down your language because we've got this girl starting and, you know, it's just a bit too blue around here, too much blue, okay, just keep it clean. And then I started and they said they realised within a week that I could out-swear the fucking lot of them
excellent.
The day long.
Excellent work.
And we all had a good laugh about the hilarious thing that they thought, oh,
talk
yeah.
Talk like ladies for yeah, lady words.
As if I'm a fucking Victorian. I was like, you know, but yeah, I gave them a flash of ankle and they knew I was a bit different, you know. Oh. But yeah, so it's definitely, I mean, it's definitely a real thing, isn't it?
Mm. And also, I mean, like the terms, you know, that's not ladylike mm. and uncouth. I mean, women get tarred with a certain brush when it comes to swearing. And like my mother never swore ever. I've never heard my mum swear in the 39 years I've known her. But my dad, who was a vicar, swore all the time. And he was this pious. He'd get up and say, oh, lo and behold, that John came down from blah, blah, blah. And then at home, his favourite saying was, fuck me dead and call me rooted, which is, I remember for him saying since I was about three.
Fuck me dead.
Fuck me dead and call me rooted, Lee. And Mum would like, oh, Timothy.
what does she think of your swearing then?
Well, I think she's just at a loss. I think, you know, the more we all swear, probably the more she prays. Because so she gets closer to God, the filthier we get. And it is strange because I think I've got the reverse, because if I ever swear, my daughter and my son are horrified. They're right. horrified. Don't swear, Mummy. It's so embarrassing. You know, put a pound in the swear jar. So they don't like, you know, I very rarely swear in front of them. And only
is it
if I,
that they don't like swearing, or is it that they don't like Mummy swearing?
Probably that. I mean, because I had this view of my mum being the perfect angel. House is always neat. You know, lace doilies on the milk jug, you know, at night time kind of thing. And now my house is not quite that. So I find it's sort of a slight reverse. Yeah.
My son said to me today, my six-year-old, he went, Mummy, do this. And he held like two fingers up in a V sign, like the victory sign, you know, yeah. the okay way. Yeah. And so I was like, okay, and I did it, and he went, you just did a swear, and then ran out of the room. Okay, Charlie, thanks.
Good.
Thanks for your input.
Breaking the law.
It is delightful when they realise that there is this power to it. And particularly, I think, when they're that young and they don't have a lot of influence on stuff, right? You know, you're told what time to go to school and what you're supposed to wear to school and when you're supposed to have your lunch and what you're going to get for your lunch. And all of a sudden, being able to make your mum inadvertently swear. Tricked you into doing a swear. Look at the power I've got.
Yeah, you see. So do you have any advice for that situation where your child comes home from school or whatever and says to you, Mummy, what does fuck mean? Or whatever it is. We've all had one of those, like my three-year-old said the other day, I'm trying to put these bloody shoes on, you know. How do we
not
handle
for nursery,
those?
Not for nursery, yeah. Joe.
How do we handle those situations?
So everyone knows their own kids best, right? So I'm not going to, like, give out this panacea for dealing with your kids.
Oh, well, this has been a waste of time.
I know. Oh, I'm really fucking sorry. If I could do that, I would, like, get myself a super nanny show, but just on kids swearing, because I think, like, Channel 5 would go for that.
Oh, right? Definitely.
Mm. But, like, for me, my relationship with swearing is that it is incredibly powerful, and I have used it, you know, performatively in a male workplace, and I want my daughter to be able to access the benefits that swearing has. But also, I personally, like, it's not in my values to use it, you know, in an aggressive way any more than I'd punch someone in the face. I don't use slurs because, and particularly after having written the book, and it's not just this sort of, you know, the fact that I am a social justice warrior snowflake. But it's not just that. It's the fact that I now understand that, neurologically speaking, when you are part of an oppressed group and someone has used a slur about you, and that that has been sort of linked to a really high threat situation, you know, someone yelling the N-word at you in the street if you're black, you don't know if you're about to be, at best, you know, punched because of your skin colour. I, as a white person, I don't have the ability to feel those sensations. Mm. And it's like throwing a punch with knuckle dusters on. You know, it's like I can cause immense pain to them at no cost to myself. And that's just fucking cheating, man. Mm. Mm. So those are the kind of things that I think I will say to her, you know, these are the words I choose to use, these are when I choose to use them, these are the ones I don't use, and these are my reasons why.
Yeah.
But of course, she's my kid. She's going to define her own values, probably in a lot of it in contrast to me. Like you said,
your kids
don't want to swear because mummy swears, or certainly don't want mummy swearing. So I can't guarantee that she's going to have the same values as me. All I can do is explain why I make the choices that I do.
Is there an age? Because I sort of, I swear in front of my parents now. Anyone who's watched our Insta stories knows my dad swears all the fucking time.
He does. He's a potty mouth, that man. And,
you know. But I remember as a child being told not to swear, and I don't remember my parents swearing very much. So there must have come like a point where that flipped and suddenly swearing was okay. What is there like a recommended age, Emma, for when will you allow swearing? When will you allow your child to walk in the door and go, oh, I had a shitty day at school, the teacher's a fuckhead? When will you, or will that day never come? I don't know.
Oh no, that is bound to come, and I hope that she'll feel able to tell me that she's had a shitty day at school and the teacher's a fuckhead, because that's a really important way of venting your feelings, you know, rather than, I don't know.
It's a very, very precise kind of picture she's painting.
And her ability to access her own feelings and say, you know, there is something that I do not like about this situation, and it's not my fault, it's theirs. Because I think particularly for girls, we are conditioned to try to make nice and be conciliatory and look for something that we can do to make the situation better. You know, if you're not getting on with your teacher, is it that you're not listening hard enough, or you're not? And if my daughter can come home and say,
no, they're just a fuckhead.
Yeah, Mrs. Jackson's a twat.
Yeah.
It's like, right, okay, so tell me what manner does her twattery take? You know, somewhere we can start.
But what age? Is it 11, 15, like where's the 47 perhaps in your mother's case, Helen? I don't know. I'm wondering, like, as if Charlie came in and started using the word fuck in general conversation at 6,
you'd feel a bit uncomfortable.
Weird about that, and I would shut it down. But if he did that at 14, I don't know.
I guess it's, and also because he's the oldest, I guess it's hard when you're in a multi-age family.
It is tricky, and I think a lot of it is to do with, you know, the stages at which kids develop things like empathy or a sort of sophisticated enough theory of mind that they can adequately judge the effect that their swearing's going to have. Because that is quite a tricky thing to model. And kids when they are younger don't have that understanding of other people's emotional lives. It takes a long time to get the hang of that. So I guess it's kind of like giving them power tools. You know, it's, can you use this safely? You know your own kids best, and that sense of, do they understand what they're doing? Are they doing it consciously? Have they chosen this? And is there another choice that you would rather they think about making? That talking about that, you know, you're saying fuck a lot. Are you really stressed at school right now?
Because I don't mind if they say something about fuck. It's when they tell me to fuck off and fuck you.
I mean, even now, my daughter is in her own way, you know, telling me to fuck off sometimes. You know, sort of,
go away, mummy.
More Hey Dougie. And she will rip my phone out of my hand. You know, she'll be borrowing my phone to watch Hey Dougie. She will rip my phone out of my hand and throw it across the room. And she will give me that spectacular side eye because she has this feeling of, you know, I just wanted to do this thing that was nice and you're not letting me and I don't understand why. And I, to some extent, I kind of do want her to be able to say, fuck you, because then at least we can talk about it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I think, have we done swearing?
I think we bloody well have, yes.
We bollocksing, cunting have thought.
Yes, we have, Ellie.
Shall we have a game?
Yes, we should.
Great. So-
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back by popular demand, I have reintroduced and rejigged the swearing game.
Oh, woo-hoo! Fabulous.
And we did it for Bowel Babes podcast, and we're going to do it today. And we did it with popular novels, and this time we're doing it with song, because I always think a song is better with swears.
Okay.
Isn't it, Ellie?
Fucking right.
Fucking hell. So what we're going to do, so you need to take two swears from the jar, randomly, don't look, and a song. Would you like to start, Ellie?
All right, I'll go first. So this is, my song is My Butt Will Go On by Celine Titt.
And we're off. Excellent.
Yay, very good.
Emma Bird,
my turn. I need to say that my favourite song right now is Come On Baby, Light My Bum Hole by the Arselickers.
I would listen to that song.
I really would. I prefer it to the original, I suspect. Don't. Right.
Okay. Really? Bridge Over Troubled Pussy by Bitch and Garfunkel.
That was what they're originally called. That was their original.
It's certainly what he was calling him by the end.
Yes, definitely. Garfunkel was the more dominant member.
God.
Went on to record the seminal album Graceland by Paul Bitch. All Along the Cock by Minge Hendrix. Mingy Hendrix, surely.
And to finish up, Living on a Shit by Bonfunk.
I mean, some people say this podcast is a waste of time. People say it doesn't really contribute anything to the world, that it's, you know, it's neither informative nor entertaining. I say we've just proved you wrong.
That's right. You're welcome, the world. Okay.
Award-winning content.
Right, good.
There we go. Very strong. I think it's time for the Scummy Mummy Confessions, don't you?
It certainly is, Emma.
Yes. Now, Emma, have you got a confession for a sweary related or otherwise?
God, yeah. I mean, I don't really go in for the whole parenting books thing, but someone introduced me to this idea of natural consequences. So I keep saying to my husband, no, I'm not being lazy, it's natural consequences. But basically it's because I can't be asked to fucking argue with my daughter, because she's more headstrong than I am. So, for example, the other day when it snowed like a bastard, we were all down in the kitchen having breakfast. She's in her pyjamas and a dressing gown and her slippers. She's like, Mummy, you won't go build a snowman. Darling, it's very cold, you need a coat. Won't go build a snowman. Okay, fine, go on, pop out. Like, my husband's like, what? I say, no, natural consequences. She comes back in like 13 seconds later, go, I need a towel, it's cold, I don't like snow. It's like, see, she learned a valuable lesson. Ah, fucking hell, I haven't had my coffee, I can't be bothered to argue yet.
You're an excellent mother, Emma.
I think that's just a life hack.
I think so.
Darling, if you're listening to this in some internet archive on your colony in Mars in 20 years' time,
Mummy's just a brain in a jar.
Mummy's just a brain in a jar. Feel free to switch me off now, because I fucking deserve it.
Thorn?
I want to say, mine's a very recent Scummy Mummy Confessions. Tonight, my husband took my son out to his guitar lesson, so I had 45 minutes at home, and I was home with my daughter, and I hadn't finished writing the questions for this podcast, so I sat in front of my computer, and I let her have iPad, and when I heard the car coming out the drive, I flipped down my laptop, started cooking the dinner, and said, Matilda, quick, start playing the piano. And then as Will came in, he was like, oh, my girls. I was like, you. There we go. Well, that's Scummy Confessions done, Ellie.
Yes, done. So thank you so much, Dr. Fuck, otherwise known as Emma Byrne, for coming on the podcast.
You're totally cunting welcome.
We've learned so much, I feel like.
I feel like swearing has got better because of you, Emma. Thank you.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, really understanding the science behind something just helps you love it that little bit more.
Makes you feel a little bit smug as
well. Oh, God, there's nothing better than feeling a little bit smug.
Just a bit. Now, where can we get your book, Emma?
Halfords? Try Halfords? Otherwise,
don't
need to ask people that question. People know where to buy books.
Wittards, yeah, definitely.
They know.
Go into like Primark.
Thorntons. Yeah. Wittards is gone, isn't it? Wittards gone.
No.
Toys R Us.
Woolworth.
Too soon.
I know. This is why Maplin's gone bankrupt. They didn't branch out
to books.
Don't start on Maplin's. I'll shed a tear. I love Maplin's. Yes, but your book Swearing is Good for You is out now, and it is excellent. Our book Scummy Mummies, as we mentioned, is also out. Yes, you can follow us on the social media at Scummy Mummies.
That's right, and we are going up and down the country in Ellie's car with Ellie's dad to many a theatre. So please check out scummymummies.com and click on live shows, and all the details will be there.
And if you like the podcast and you would like to help us out, please do us a big favour and rate and or review the podcast on iTunes. That really helps us out, really pushes the podcast up the charts, and then more people get to hear about it. So yeah. Thanks for that.
Give us five stars
Just saying,
give us five stars, we'll give you a pound. write to us, we'll give you a pound.
Thank you very much.
Sell a taped into a birthday card like your gran used to do.
Stop, that's too nice. Yes. I love that. Okay,
Where can people follow you, Emma?
On the Twitters, I am SciRyBy. That's SCI for science, WRI for writing, and BY for burn.
Catchy.
And it's sweary, and I'm an unapologetic social media justice virtue signalling snowflake.
Yeah.
So follow me for the swears, stay for the making you feel terrible about all of the things you used to like.
Stay for the hummus.
Yeah. Yes. Until next time, fuck off. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, that great pay on to America's bygone era. Arsehole Pie by Fuckface McLean.
Why did he take the Chevy to the levee, Ellie? I don't know.
It was fucking dry. It was dry. Waste of everyone's time.
Yeah. Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.